This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالًا كثيرًا ونساءً واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We begin by thanking and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High. We praise Him, we thank Him, we seek His help, we seek His aid, we seek guidance from Him, we seek refuge in Him from the evil within ourselves and from the evil consequences of our actions. And we bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is His last and final messenger. We beseech Allah to send His peace and blessings upon the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his family and his companions and all those who follow his tradition until the end of time. As to what follows, we remind one another to renew our taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us remember and remind one another that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever watchful of us at all times, is aware of our thoughts, statements and actions at every moment of our life. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me to make the Hajj pilgrimage this year, and we recently returned in the past week. And many individuals, whenever I would meet them, they would ask me, how was the experience, how did it go? And I told everyone that alhamdulillah, it was smooth, it was a wonderful experience, it was a big blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes people want more, they want to hear more details. And this is one of those experiences that is so difficult to put into words. It's one of those experiences, one of those journeys that words alone cannot really capture the real feelings and the emotions that you undertake in this experience. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us and to accept from anyone who made Hajj from our community or across our community in general, the Ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the Hajj from the pilgrims and those who have not returned home yet, may Allah take them back to their families safe and sound. This wasn't the first time that I was blessed to be able to do the Hajj, the pilgrimage. But each time it comes with its own set of experiences and feelings. It doesn't get old, it doesn't get... Each time it is exciting, and each time it comes with emotions and intense feelings. And there's a reason for that. It is a great act of worship, it is a great act of ibadah. As we know, it is one of the five pillars of Islam. It is one of those foundational acts of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded every Muslim to do as soon as they have the ability to do so. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Qur'an that it is a right of Allah upon the believers that they make pilgrimage to His house, to the first house established for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth, known as the Kaaba, al-Masjid al-Haram, the sacred masjid. لِمَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. For those that have the ability to do so. And the ability is very interesting here. Any act of worship, anything that is obligatory for us to do, is contingent upon our ability, of course. If a person is sick during the month of Ramadan, they are not commanded to fast. They can eat that day and they can make up the fast on another after Ramadan. They can make up that fast on another day. If a person has a deficiency in wealth, then the zakat and the charity is not obligatory upon them. When they get that wealth, then they can do it. Hajj is very interesting because when we talk about the ability, we are talking not only about physical ability, but we are also talking about financial ability, both together. And that's one of the things that makes it unique. It requires a tremendous amount of sacrifice, both financial and physical. And of course, that doesn't even make mention of the internal and the spiritual and the mindset that we should have when performing this act of worship. And because it requires such intense sacrifice, the reward is also intense as well. The Prophet ﷺ told us about this act of worship, that al-hajj al-mabrur, the accepted, the good accepted hajj, there is no reward for it except al-jannah, except paradise. The Prophet ﷺ told us another hadith, man hajja, whoever makes hajj, وَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ, does not engage in intercourse while they're in the state of ihram, or speak in a lewd manner, or commit any sins while they're in the process of this hajj, then the Prophet ﷺ said, it will be accepted, and he will return pure and free from sins as if he is coming the day his mother gave birth to him. So literally you come back from this act of worship like a newborn baby. A newborn baby is not born with any sin. There is no accountability. Accountability begins when a person reaches puberty. A baby is born pure and free of sin. So a person goes for hajj, they have a sincere intention, they sacrifice, they do the best that they can, they follow all of the rites of hajj appropriately, they don't engage in any of the acts that violate hajj, they come back like a newborn baby, pure and free from their sins. Now this is a huge reward. But unfortunately a lot of people listen to this and they think about it the wrong way. This very reward of hajj is one of the reasons why many people delay going for hajj even though they have the ability. Can you believe that? Some people think, well, you know, because the reward is so great, and I'm going to come back like a pure, free baby, let me enjoy my life as if there's enjoyment in sin. As if. Let me enjoy my life and do whatever I want to do. And then when I become an old man or old woman, you know, I'll have plenty of savings inshallah, I'll go do my hajj and there you go. I've enjoyed my life, and now I've come back pure as a baby and I'm ready to die. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. As if we have that much control over the extent of our lifespan. As if we have that kind of knowledge. As if we can play games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's called playing games with Allah and His religion. And we don't play games with Allah and His religion. That's an arrogant mindset. When a person has the ability to do something, they should hasten to do it right away. Musa alayhi salam said, وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى. When Musa had an appointment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he hastened. So Allah asked Musa, مَا عَجَلَكَ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا مُوسَى. Why are you rushing? Why did you leave your people and rush? He said, عَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى. I'm rushing to you, O my Lord, so you can be pleased with me. That's the attitude and mindset we should have. A person has the opportunity, the ability, they shouldn't put it off. Because if they have the ability and they put it off, and something happens to them and they don't get to fulfill that obligation before they die, they will be held accountable. Because Allah does not hold us accountable for that which we cannot do. Allah in His infinite mercy and wisdom holds us accountable based on our abilities now. What can you do right now with what you have? And based on what you have, that's how you are held accountable. So we should have this mindset with all of the acts of worship. Now we are talking about hajj right now and using it as an example, but that's the kind of mindset we should have with any of the ibadat. With any act of goodness for the sake of Allah. That we are hastening to do so. Not putting it off. Matters of dunya, you can put it off. You can think, is this business transaction going to be good for me or not? Let me put it aside and think about it. Let me sleep on it. An act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have the ability, I will do it now. Because that's what happens when there is love for Allah. That's what happens when there is an internal and external desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it's purely external, then it's deficient. And if it's only internal, internal, but there are no actions, there are no carrying out of the obligations, that's also not a complete picture. But there needs to be internally love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His deen, and externally acting upon that. And hastening to do that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many different lessons and reflections that can be extracted from this experience and this trip. But I will share just a couple of them today that are relevant even to those that might not have performed the hajj, and give you an insight into the experience. The first of which is, there are many messages, there are many objectives that we are fulfilling in the act of hajj. But of the most powerful is realizing, internalizing and acting upon the belief of Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remembering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator, and He put us here to worship Him, but also remembering that we will go back and return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it is when we talk about, in so many verses of the Qur'an, we say, الْإِيمَانُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Believing in Allah and the last day. There is belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator, our sustainer. Our purpose here is to worship and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we go through our daily lives. But also we have to constantly remember that there is akhirah. That as amazing as this life gets with all of its luxuries, or conversely, as difficult as it gets with all of the challenges, it will come to an end one day and we will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will be held accountable. And there will be reward and there will be punishment. And that this life that we are experiencing is very temporary. And so Hajj is a mini display of that. From the very beginning, as soon as you enter the state of ihram, the men put on these towels. Everyone is chanting, لبيك اللهم لبيك. You know what لبيك means? لبيك means, quickly, I am surrendering, I am coming, I am responding right away. If somebody were to call your name and you jump up and you say, لبيك. That is literally what we are doing. We are answering this call. Which call? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded His Prophet Ibrahim, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. Call out to the people for Hajj, for pilgrimage. And since the time of Ibrahim until now, people are responding to that call. Responding to that invitation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so you make that statement, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ لَبَّيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَبَّيْكَ. No partner do you have, O Allah. All of this creation that you have created, Allah, you didn't do it with anyone or alongside anyone. Without any help or assistance. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not afflicted by any fatigue or even sleepiness or dozing off, none of that. جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, the Most High. Greater and far above His creation. And so we are saying this, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ لَبَّيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَبَّيْكَ إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ. All praise and thanks exclusively to You, O Allah. All these blessings are from You, O Allah. وَالْمُلْكَ, and the dominion and power. What or who could have gathered all of these people from all walks of life in this one place? And as we mentioned, the men are wearing these two towels and nothing else. The greatest symbolic act to remind us of how we will be when we are placed in our graves. When you were born, they put you in a little towel. That's all you had. You weren't born with any underwear on. And when you die also, they will wrap you in these towels and put you in the dirt. That's what's going to happen. The beginning of our life to the end of our life. And you go through some of these days in the ritual of Hajj, and people are all gathered in front of you, it's a reminder of Al-Akhirah. On the Day of Judgment, when every human being, from the first Adam alayhi salam, until the last human being that will be the last person before the world comes to an end. All of them will be gathered, عَلَى صَعِيدٍ وَاحِدٍ, in one plane. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now of course, Hajj is only a microcosm of all the Muslims and all of mankind. But when you see those crowds, you remember Al-Akhirah. Just like how I am standing here now, there will be a time when I will be standing like this as well. People as far as the eye can see. And so now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that opportunity, I am alive now, I am breathing. Now I make tawbah. Now I make sincere repentance. Now I do whatever I can in my ability to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that when I am standing on that day, not if, but when, because there's nothing more guaranteed than al-yawm al-akhir, then I will be in a good position with my Allah. I will be in a good position in front of my Lord and my Creator. Because You took advantage of the abilities that You had now. Another lesson that we take away from Hajj is we witness the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest day of the year is the day of Arafah. Those of you that were not in Hajj, perhaps you fasted on that day. If you did not, please remember to do so in the coming years. The Prophet ﷺ said, it's the greatest day that the sun has ever risen upon. And fasting that day is a purification from sins. Now those that are making Hajj, they are not fasting, but they are in a place called Arafah. It's a plain, and that is the most important day of their Hajj journey. And they spend the day from Dhuhr until Maghrib making dua and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on that day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brags to the angels, you see all of these people standing, calling upon me. And so on that day, you see a representation of every single ethnicity, nation, color, and language. And they're all making dua in their own ways, in their own mother tongue. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to every single one of those du'as. No human being, no type of technology can even reach that level. Every single one of the hujjaj are there, all of the pilgrims. And even those that are not making pilgrimage, wherever you might be on the face of the earth, breaking your fast, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is as-sami'u al-basir, the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Sees all of His servants and responding to their call. Who could have gathered all of these people? What are they there for? They're there seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is that experience where you really feel the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And recognizing the greatness of Allah, you then recognize what you need as a human being, as a limited human being, as a creation. That my purpose is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My servitude is to my Creator. Not to my own desires, not to some other individual, not to some dunya benefit. All of that will come to pass. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will remain. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of the lessons also, and we will conclude with this one, is in the process of seeing all of these people, all of these different colors and languages and tongues, you remember how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Al-Qur'an, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O mankind, we have created you from a male and a female, and we have made you into many different peoples and tribes so that you may get to know one another. And the measure of preference, the measure of who's better than who, is based on taqwa. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ The most honorable of you in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those that have the most taqwa. Not those that have the most wealth, not those that have the most status, not those that have the most power or position, but those that have the most taqwa. It could be that person that many people despise or think are an insignificant individual in society, but because of their taqwa they are at a higher status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when we reflect upon this verse, we realize the ideal of equality and unity that this act of worship and that the religion of Islam celebrates. And this is especially important considering the times that we are living in now. And considering the events in our very own backyard. We don't have to go very far. You turn on the TV, and most recently you hear about the events that are taking place in Oklahoma, in Charlotte, and these types of events that have been taking place. Nothing new. As we've mentioned before in other gatherings, we've mentioned that now there's more attention. Everybody's got a camera in their pocket now. But these events have been taking place. Racism has been in existence for a long time. And when you look at this act of worship of Hajj, you realize there is no room for that in Islam. Everyone is wearing the same two towels. You are standing next to someone, they could be the richest person on earth, you wouldn't know it. They could be the poorest person on earth, you wouldn't know it. But you are standing together, side by side. لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ The Creator, Allah is the same Creator. And the one you will return to is the same one. The rich don't have their own day of judgment, and the poor don't have their own day of judgment. Black folks don't have their own Yawm al-Qiyamah, and white folks don't have their own Yawm al-Qiyamah. Everybody's going to be in the same plane. And so then for what reason do people have in this dunya to elevate themselves over another because of skin color or because of race or because of socioeconomic status. There's no reasoning behind that. And there's no space for that in Islam. I want to read to you an excerpt from Malcolm X, Al-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz rahimahullah. When he made Hajj, he wrote a beautiful letter from his experience. Now as we know, this was an individual who was a very powerful voice in the nation of Islam. And then he was able to perform the Hajj pilgrimage, and he left the nation of Islam. His biography is very well known and very important for every Muslim, not just in America, but especially in America, to learn and read and reflect over. But I want to share a brief excerpt. He mentions, he says, quote, "Never have I witnessed such sincere hospitality and overwhelming spirit of true brotherhood as is practiced by people of all colors and races here in this ancient holy land, the home of Abraham, Muhammad, and all the other prophets of the Holy Scriptures." He then goes on to speak about the events of the past week that he experienced, going from Arafah to Muzdalifah and praying, being in the tent city of Mina. He says, "There were tens of thousands of pilgrims from all over the world. They were of all colors, from blue-eyed blondes to black-skinned Africans. But we were all participating in the same ritual, displaying a spirit of unity and brotherhood." Pay attention. "That my experiences in America had led me to believe never could exist between the white and the non-white." He then goes on to say something very important. America needs to understand Islam. America needs to understand Islam because this is the one religion that erases from its society the race problem. That's what he said explicitly. And these are his thoughts. And these words ring true even now, many decades after he has passed away, rahimahullah. But we are witnessing events in our country. We are witnessing events that are a reflection of exactly the same events that he was witnessing many decades ago. And the solution has not changed. The problem hasn't changed. Maybe it's gotten a little bit more technologically advanced. The root of the problem is the same, and henceforth the solution is the same as well. To understand that we are all here, ibadur rahman, servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our job here is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to protect ourselves from disobeying Him, to live our lives in the best manner possible, as true to the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as we can, and to maintain respect and equality. There is no fadl, there is no preference for any one individual over another because of their skin color or because of their socioeconomic status, except in taqwa, except in obedience and piety to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify our affairs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and bless this country with the understanding of this message of Islam, so that there can actually be peace and harmony between people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us our Hajj and accept from all of you that went for Hajj, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the ability to perform this act of worship over and over again. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min al-ayat wa dhikri al-hakim. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, these are just a few thoughts that I wanted to share with you all here in this khutbah. But tonight in the FFN program, inshallah ta'ala, we will be joined with several other members of our community that were also blessed to partake in this experience. And we will be having a panel to hear from them about their experiences. It's going to be conversations with Hajj pilgrims. And I will be moderating that, inshallah ta'ala. And we will be joined with several community members. You will have a chance to ask them questions and learn from their experiences, be inspired. If you have not been blessed with the opportunity to perform Hajj, this can really inspire you and help you prepare for the coming year, inshaAllah ta'ala. Also, the California Islamic University will be beginning the fall quarter next week. There are going to be classes about the life of the Prophet, Islamic law, Quranic reading, the Arabic language. So to register for classes or to find out more information about this opportunity, please visit their table in the lobby so that you can register and so that you can get more details. There is going to be the summer picnic. Because alhamdulillah, Southern California, just because October is around the corner, we're still enjoying summer. So we have our summer picnic on October 2nd, Sunday, in the Yorba Linda Regional Park. There will be no tickets sold at the park. So you're going to need to get your tickets today here at the masjid. You can get them at the lobby, inshallah ta'ala. So make sure you get your tickets for yourself and your whole family. There will be, I am told that they are preparing some very good food, some good games and activities for every member of the family. So get your tickets and spread the word, and we will see you all there, inshallah ta'ala. Ibadallah, inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. اذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will remember you. واشكروه على نعمه وآلائه يزدكم. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will increase you. ولذكر الله أكبر, the remembrance of Allah is the greatest. والله يعلم ما تصنعون, Allah is fully aware of what we do. أقم الصلاة.